This is Taking Aim with
Rav Schoenman
and Maya Schoen, coming to Tuesday, September 6th, 2005. On Friday, August 26th, 3 days before Hurricane Katrina pounded the Gulf Coast, Governor Kathleen Blanco declared a state of emergency. On Sunday, New Orleans Mayor C. Ray Nagin went on television and called upon all the citizens of New Orleans to evacuate the city. It's a metropolitan area home to 1.4 million people. Over 100,000 residents of New Orleans, however, were without the means to heed Nagin's call to evacuate. Then, by Sunday, September 4th, on Meet the Press, when Tim Russert interviewed Aaron Broussard, president of Jefferson Parish, one of the suburbs of New Orleans, Broussard's statements shocked both Russert and the world. He stated, "Every single day, they said," meaning the federal government, "that the cavalry was coming. The cavalry is coming. I have just begun to hear the hooves. The cavalry is still not here yet, but I have begun to hear the hooves, and we're almost a week out. We had Walmart deliver 3 trucks of water, trailer trucks of water. FEMA," referring to the Federal Emergency Management
Administration,
"turned them back, said we didn't need them. This was a week ago. We had 1,000 gallons of diesel fuel on a Coast Guard vessel docked in my parish. The Coast Guard said, 'Come get the fuel right away.' When we got there with our trucks, they got a word. FEMA says, 'Don't give you the fuel.' Yesterday, FEMA comes in and cuts all our emergency communication lines. They cut them without notice," Broussard continues. "Our sheriff, Harry Lee, goes back in. He reconnects the line. He posts armed guards." This is armed guards against the federal government. "Said no one is getting near these lines." But then Broussard continues, and he breaks into sobs as he relates the harrowing tale that was confronted by one of his colleagues, the man who was in charge of emergency management for Jefferson Parish. And he tells this tale. His mother was trapped in St. Bernard Nursing Home, and every day she called him and said, "Are you coming, son? Is somebody coming?" And he said, "Yeah, Mama. Somebody's coming to get you. Somebody's coming to get you on Tuesday. Somebody's coming to get you on Wednesday. Somebody's coming to get you on Thursday. Somebody's coming to get you on Friday." And she drowned Friday night. Now, this is the president of Jefferson Parish, the highest local official, and he is condemning the government. "Bureaucracy," he says, "has committed murder here in Greater New Orleans area, and bureaucracy has to stand trial before Congress now. Hurricane Katrina," he concluded, "will go down as one of the worst abandonments of Americans on American soil ever in U.S. history." Why? Why was a local official stating this? Today on Taking Aim, the underlying politics of the Katrina catastrophe.
Maya, in Salon magazine on September 1st, the headline is, "No one can say they did not see it coming." In 2001, FEMA stated that a hurricane would strike New Orleans. It was one of the 3 most likely disasters in the United States. But the Bush administration cut New Orleans flood control funding by 44%. A year ago, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers proposed to study how New Orleans could be protected from an inevitable catastrophic hurricane. The administration ordered the research to be canceled. A flood had killed 6 people in 1995. Congress had created the Southeast Louisiana Urban Flood Control Project, in which the Army Corps of Engineers was supposed to strengthen and renovate the levees and pumping stations. In 2001, the Federal Emergency Management Agency issued a report. It stated that a hurricane striking New Orleans was one of the three most likely disasters in the United States. The administration cut the Army Corps of Engineers' request to hold back the waters of New Orleans Lake Pontchartrain by more than 30%, additional cuts for a total reduction of funding of 44% of the budget specifically allocated to strengthen the levees and to prevent their collapse in the event of a hurricane striking New Orleans.
Yet, Ralph, President Bush declared on an interview on ABC's Good Morning America in the middle of last week, "I don't think anyone anticipated the breach of the levees."
Well, here is the response of Mark Fischetti, the author of the article in Scientific American, which detailed in great particularity and with some scientific precision the exact circumstances of a hurricane such as Katrina, such for that matter as Hurricane George, which only at the last minute had averted New Orleans in the previous year. "They saw it coming," wrote Mark Fischetti on September 2nd in the New York Times. "The death caused by Hurricane Katrina are heartrending. The suffering of the survivors is wrenching, but they knew that a large-scale catastrophe of this kind would be occurring. There was a large-scale engineering plan called Coast 2050, developed in 1998 by scientists. Army engineers, metropolitan planners, Louisiana officials would have saved this city had they implemented it. By the late 1990s, scientists at Louisiana State University, University of New Orleans, had perfected models showing exactly how the sea surge would overwhelm the levee system and had proposed a set of immediate solutions. The Army Corps of Engineers, which had built the levees, had proposed various projects. All of these were prevented from being implemented. All of their funds were removed."
Ralph, you're referring to an article by Mark Fischetti in the New York Times, "They Saw It Coming." In October of 2001, he had written a definitive article in Scientific American called "Drowning New Orleans," which is still available, in which he said, "A major hurricane could swamp New Orleans under 20 feet of water, killing thousands. The boxes are stacked 8 feet high and line the walls of a large windowless room. Inside them are new body bags, 10,000 in all. As the water recedes," says Walter Maestri, a local emergency management director, this is back in 2001, "we expect to find a lot of dead bodies. New Orleans is a disaster waiting to happen. The city lies below sea level in a bowl bordered by levees that fend off Lake Pontchartrain to the north and the Mississippi River to the south and west. And because of a damming confluence of factors, the city is sinking further, putting it at increasing flood risk even after minor storms." The article describes how this has happened. But what is important to note, as Fischetti says, a direct hit is inevitable. Large hurricanes come close every year. In 1965, Hurricane Betsy put parts of the city under 8 feet of water. In 1992, Hurricane Andrew missed the city by only 100 miles. And in 1998, Hurricane George veered east at the last moment. Now, this was written in 2001. And in 2004, Hurricane Ivan pounded New Orleans. And even the San Francisco Chronicle here in the Bay Area had an extensive article about what would happen to New Orleans should Ivan have a direct hit. And it elaborated exactly, it described exactly what has taken place. So no one knew what was going to happen? Bogus. The Times-Picayune had a five-part series in 2002 entitled "Washing Away." National Geographic, October 2004, "Gone with the Water." Not if, but when. And Associated Press, an article describing the experience of Ivan that was written September 19th, 2004, where they warned of New Orleans' disaster.
And Maya, what you're describing here by scientific journal after scientific journal, by government and Corps of Engineers study after Corps of Engineers study, is a demonstration that this is not a question of indifference. This is not a question of ideology in which the state and the government, which is indeed the capitalist mantra, is disentitled to activity on behalf of its citizens, where the only legitimate function of the state is coercion and suppression, where the only legitimate activity of the state financially is to subsidize corporations and banks, where the needs of the population, where the social advantage and advancement of our citizens is delegitimized as something that is illicit, something that is radical, something that is contrary to the interests of the citizens. That ideology indeed underlies everything that capitalist society does in its system for profit. But what we are dealing with here is something much more precise, much more exact, much more real, and it needs to be said. This was a calculated and deliberate activity intended to prepare for the catastrophe, to facilitate that catastrophe, to permit that catastrophe, to stand aside and watch it happen. This is not a matter of speculation. Every document that comes out of the bourgeois press and the scientific community establishes it. Hurricane George, which was an event in September 1998 with its fiercely circulating winds and a wall of water 17 feet high topped by driven waves which threatened to surge in the Lake Pontchartrain, train, inspired a precise study for exactly the event that occurred with Katrina. A grand plan was elaborated. Scientists, engineers, and politicians who, realizing how close the entire Delta had come to disaster, prepared a consensus. And late in 1998, Fischetti describes in the New York Times the governor's office, the state's Department of Natural Resources, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, the Environmental Protection Agency, the Fish and Wildlife Service, 20 of the state's coastal parishes, prepared Coast 2050, a blueprint for restoring coastal Louisiana with an overall $14 billion budget to permanently alleviate the condition with precise immediate steps spelled out for shoring up the levees, for preventing the flooding of New Orleans, for rebuilding the Southern Barrier Islands using over 500 million cubic yards of sand from nearby Ship Shoal. All of the elaborated preparation scientifically established for preventing the disaster. This was not merely sabotage, stopped, and the funding eliminated, but every step was taken by the federal authorities to prevent any action from being implemented.
Ralph, we should note here that aside from the population of the Louisiana coast, Louisiana's coast produces one-third of the country's seafood, one-quarter of the oil comes from the Gulf region, and one-fifth of that is from the Louisiana coast, one-quarter of the nation's natural gas. Louisiana harbors 40% of the nation's coastal wetlands and provides the wintering ground for 70% of migratory waterfowl in the United States. Facilities on the Mississippi River from New Orleans to Baton Rouge constitute the U.S.'s largest port. This is the economic heartland of oil, gas, and is a critical area for wildlife in our country.
Maya, what we're addressing here, and which is something that the press has for the first time embraced, is that this was a deliberate design. And we will explore later as to what the martial law scenario of the administration and of the capitalist state requires in catastrophe, whether it's the false flag operation of another 9/11, which they've been promising us, Northern Command, military rule, the absolute subjugation of a population requires catastrophe as the occasioning event and as the pretext. All of the elements are in place here in demonstrating how the anticipated devastation of New Orleans and the Gulf was an event that they allowed to happen, that they intended to happen. Here are the documentation and establishment of this by Media Matters, Media Matters for America, in its publication on September 5th. In an interview yesterday on Good Morning America, President Bush said, "I don't think anyone anticipated the breach of the levees," and the response is as follows. The Washington Post on September 2nd, "This is simply not true." The statement by Mr. Bush that nobody anticipated the breach of the levees is false. Experts, and I'm quoting from the Washington Post, inside and outside of government have issued repeated warnings in print and on air for years about the city's specific topography. These warnings were loudly and prominently echoed by media nationally and in Louisiana. Not only is it not true that nobody anticipated the breach of the levees, the Washington Post continues, nearly everybody anticipated this breach. The problem was not lack of anticipation. It was the decision not to prepare. And I'm quoting, on June 8, 2004, the New York Times-Picayune stated, for the first time in 37 years, federal budget cuts have specifically stopped major work on the New Orleans area's East Bank hurricane levees. The manager of the Army Corps of Engineers Lake Pontchartrain Levee project stated, people must be informed. They must know. This work is being stopped. Important work yet to do to put a complete system in place is being halted. When levees are below grade as ours are right now, they are vulnerable to waves pouring over them. Unquote. And Jefferson Parish Emergency Management Chief Walter Maestri stated, the money for hurricane protection efforts has been removed. It has been transferred to Homeland Security and the war in Iraq. And what is the price? These levees will be finished. We were doing everything we could to make the case that this is a security issue for us. It is ignored. Los Angeles Times, Tim Rutten in his column on September 2nd, 3 years ago, the New Orleans leading local newspaper, the Times-Picayune, National Public Radio, and the program All Things Considered, and the New York Times methodically and compellingly reported that the very existence of South Louisiana's leading city is at risk, that hundreds of thousands of lives are imperiled by this precise sequence of events. All three news organizations made clear that this danger was growing and that there was a specific failure to provide the funding, in fact, funding being removed, to alleviate the danger. Since 2002, when all these reports ran, the Times-Picayune has published no fewer than 9 full feature stories that the combination of tax cuts and the demands of Homeland Security have resulted in the gutting of the preparations by the Army Corps of Engineers and even Louisiana's congressional delegation to provide the funds necessary to save New Orleans, quote unquote.
Ralph, an article in the Philadelphia Daily News, September 1st, Why the Levee Broke, states, it's an article by Will Bunch, who's a senior writer at the Philadelphia Daily News. Washington knew exactly what needed to be done to protect the citizens of New Orleans from disasters like Katrina, yet federal funding for Louisiana flood control projects were diverted to pay for the war in Iraq, but also, I would add, diverted to pay for much of the corporate soup line and the tax cuts for the rich. New Orleans had long known it was vulnerable to flooding and a direct hit from a hurricane. The federal government has been working with state and local officials in the region since the late 1960s, when flooding from a massive rainstorm in May 1995 killed 6 people. Mind you, only 6 people, although it's not only, but 6 people as opposed to the thousands today, Congress authorized the Southeast Louisiana Urban Flood Control Project, or CELA. Over the next 10 years, the Army Corps of Engineers tasked with carrying out CELA spent $430 million on shoring up levees and building pumping stations, with $50 million in local aid. But at least $250 million in crucial projects remained, even as hurricane activity in the Atlantic Basin increased dramatically and the levees surrounding New Orleans continue to subside. Remember that New Orleans is sinking, and this is a subject of a show in itself, the environmental reasons for what is happening in the entire Gulf region.
Well, we will return to this with respect to global warming, with respect to the destruction of the wetlands and the marshes that provide this capacity to absorb water and to create the sediment and all of the elements that have contributed to the devastation of the surrounding physical circumstances that create catastrophe of this nature.
And much of this is from the oil and gas industry. The longer we wait without funding, the more we sink. That is a statement from the New Orleans officials in charge of the levee project. On June 8, 2004, Walter Mastry, the emergency management chief for Jefferson Parish, said, "It appears that the money's been moved to handle Homeland Security. It's been moved away from our budget." Now look at the war in Iraq. $1 billion a day. Look at the war in Iraq.
Well, Maya, ABC Nightline, September 15, 2004. "If it sounds overly dramatic, it is not. This city is surrounded by water on three sides. Lake Pontchartrain to the north and Mississippi below. Any hurricane hitting right now will breach the levees. Water will cascade in, submerging the city. Because of the levees collapsing, there will be no way of escaping." Associated Press, May 16, 2004. "All officials are warning. If a major hurricane hits New Orleans, tens of thousands of people can be killed. The city will be flooded for weeks. Floodwaters will breach the levees ringing the city. It has the topography of a saucer that dips feet below sea level in many places. All of the remedies are available. They have to be funded." Here's the Advocate in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Again, September 19, 2003. "The Hurricane Center has developed an extremely detailed map of New Orleans. The city, which sits 6 feet below sea level, surrounded by levees, is primed to be hit by a major storm. Knowing how fast the water in the inlets will rise, evacuations and cleanups must be planned immediately. In the case of South Louisiana, a breach of these levees will trap the floodwater on the wrong side of the bank and will create a catastrophe in the city." Richmond Times-Dispatch, August 6, 2002, "New Orleans, with over 460,000 residents in the inner city alone, lies entirely below sea level. A Category 3 hurricane will breach the levees, will kill thousands of people." Cox News Service, September 1, 2005, on ABC Television, Bush stated, "I don't think anyone anticipated the breach of the levees. In fact, this failure has been forecast, predicted, and documented for years." Every major medium has established that the government did not do this through absence of awareness. This was design. This catastrophe was prepared.
Ralph, an article that appeared in the Chicago Tribune, the Knight Ritter newspaper, as well from the Tallahassee Democrat on September 2nd by Frank James and Andrew Martin, goes even further, because it describes the response by FEMA and other government officials to the evacuation of the peoples of New Orleans. The slow response bewilders former FEMA officials. They write, "Government disaster officials had an action plan if a major hurricane hit New Orleans. They simply didn't execute it when Hurricane Katrina struck. 13 months before Katrina hit New Orleans, local, state, and federal officials held a simulated hurricane drill that Ronald Castleman, then the regional director for the Federal Emergency Management Agency, called, quote, a very good exercise. More than a million residents were evacuated in the tabletop scenario as 120-mile-an-hour winds and 20 inches of rain caused widespread flooding that supposedly trapped 300,000 people in the city. It was very much an eye-opener. At first, National Guard trucks of caravans of water and food were to arrive in New Orleans. But this didn't happen when Hurricane Katrina hit." Ralph.
Sidney Blumenthal, the former assistant and senior advisor to President Clinton, in Der Spiegel on August 31st. In 2001, FEMA warned, "A hurricane striking New Orleans is the most likely disaster in the United States." The Bush administration cut flood control funding by 44% and prevented any measures from being taken. 1 year ago, the U.S. Corps of Army Engineers asked for a study on protecting New Orleans from a catastrophic hurricane. The Bush administration ordered that the research not be undertaken. Congress created a Southeast Louisiana Urban Flood Control Project in which the Army Corps of Engineers would renovate the levees and pumping stations. The funding was eliminated, and it was prevented from being implemented. Blumenthal documents the Los Angeles Times. Despite warnings, Washington failed to fund levee projects that September 4th for years. Washington warned, it repeats the information, it elaborates upon it. A powerful hurricane would do to New Orleans and the area's critical transfer energy and petrochemical facilities is exactly what has unfolded here. It has always been well understood, and it goes into the examples of failure to fund and sabotage of funding. Lieutenant General Carl Strzok, the Army Corps of Engineers, conceded that the government had known that the New Orleans levees would not withstand a hurricane. The Corps officials shudder when they realized that the government was deliberately standing down, while Katrina now barreling down on the Gulf Coast with the vastly greater destructive forces of a Category 5 hurricane. 99.5% of the time, the measures we had proposed would have worked and would have prevented this. Unfortunately, we were not allowed to address it. General Strzok said, this is the Los Angeles Times, there is no way to escape, and we have masses of such data to sustain this. This was a deliberate act.
Everyone knows that the first 72 hours of any natural disaster is the most important time to get relief on the way. Yet the federal government didn't move within the first 72 hours. Much has been made about the top FEMA official, Michael Brown, who first joined the agency as the legal counsel. And his prior experience, he was the head of the International Arabian Horse Association and dealt with judges and stewards. He also had been the roommate for the prior FEMA official, the head of FEMA. What was his experience with management? He was the head of President Bush's first campaign, his presidential campaign. Great officials at the top of the emergency agency. But let's look at another information about how FEMA conducts its business. Wayne Mattson did some important research. On September 3, 2005, he stated, FEMA privatized hurricane disaster recovery planning for New Orleans and southeastern Louisiana. The firms that received the contract are big GOP contributors. As well, the Army Corps of Engineers had diverted $250 million from CELA, that's the Urban Flow Control Program, to Halliburton reconstruction projects in Iraq. Let's look at some of the firms. Innovative Emergency Management was paid to develop a catastrophic hurricane disaster plan for New Orleans and southeast Louisiana. It was awarded June 3, 2004. Its partners for this $500,000 contract are Dewberry of Arlington, Virginia, and URS Corporation of San Francisco. IEM's president is Madhu Berawal. Let's look at the credentials from Ms. Berawal. She is a big contributor to the GOP. She's given thousands of dollars to the Republicans, including Louisiana Senator David Vitner and other Gulf Coast Republicans, such as the Alabama Senator and representatives from Louisiana. The chairman of Dewberry, Sidney Dewberry, and the vice chairman, Barry K. Dewberry, and the secretary of the firm, Michael Dewberry, have been substantial contributors to George W. Bush, Virginia Senator John Warner, the National Republican Congressional Committee, and others in the Republican administration. The URS Board of Directors includes, on the Democratic Party side, Richard Bloom, the husband of California Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein, and retired General Joseph Ralston, the former vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and current vice chairman of the Cone Group, that is, former Defense Secretary William Cone's own firm. Ralston also served as director of the Timken Company. That is the firm of the current U.S. ambassador to Germany, William Timken, who, Mattson notes, is a big-time contributor to President George W. Bush. Ralph?
I'm going to do a quick summary of the additional documents that pertain to the planned stand-down, because this is a stand-down. No less was it a stand-down for the attacks on 9/11 than it is a stand-down for the catastrophe in New Orleans.
This is Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. Our program today, The Underlying Politics of the Katrina Catastrophe. Ralph?
The Gambit Weekly in New Orleans, September 28th, 2004, 1 year ago, a disaster waiting to heaven. FEMA's weathering Bush administration policy.
Waiting to happen. Unfortunately, many people may have made their way to heaven.
Thank you, Maya. Waiting to happen, indeed. Deliberate sabotage of funding, why the levees broke and alternate. Even as Hurricane Katrina had moved well north of the city and waters continued to rise, Lake Pontchartrain continued to pour through a two-block-long break in the main levee near the city's 17th Street Canal, the precise levees at the precise locations where the Army Corps of Engineers had prepared for repairs and for refurbishing. Washing away, the Times-Picayune, June 23rd to June 27th, 2002. It's only a matter of time before South Louisiana takes a direct hit from a major hurricane, and the articles detail exactly what would occur. Down full of New Orleans, Der Spiegel. Der Spiegel again, elaborating on the inevitable downfall of, arising from a hurricane of this magnitude. The Financial Times, Bush policies have crippled the response.
Ralph, I think we should look at that Financial Times article. It's by Edward Alden, who is the Washington Bureau Chief for the Financial Times, because this really shows the depth that this Katrina catastrophe has made into the ruling class and the bourgeois world. Because, as Alden writes, for a world watching astonished as one of the U.S.'s oldest and proudest cities descended into anarchy this week after Hurricane Katrina, although he writes descended into anarchy, and we're going to discuss that because actually New Orleans did not descend into anarchy. The enduring image will be the crowds of dark-skinned Americans pleading to the cameras with a single message. We want help. For the past quarter century in Washington, since Republican Ronald Reagan rode a conservative backlash all the way to the presidency, U.S. politics have been dominated by the conviction that what was wrong with America would be solved by getting the government off the people's backs. In Washington, the Republican orthodoxy that reigns at both ends of Pennsylvania Avenue has dictated that taxes can go down but never up. Federal tax revenues as a percentage of the economy have dropped to the lowest level since 1950s. And then he goes on to discuss many reasons why the core philosophy, and it's not just the Republican Party, this is true of the Democratic Party too, the core philosophy has led to the conditions that create a situation like the catastrophe in New Orleans, Mississippi, and Alabama that we are witnessing right now.
Popular Science, April 2005. Quote, it takes Scott Kaiser a split second to name the one city in the United States and indeed in the world that would sustain the most catastrophic damage from a Category 5 hurricane. New Orleans, stated Kaiser, a tropical cyclone program manager for the National Weather Service. The city is below sea level with the Mississippi River on one side and Lake Pontchartrain on the other. It is a hydrologic nightmare. There will be a storm surge, high winds stacking up huge waves along the hurricane's leading edge, a surge that will quickly drown the entire city. I think that with the dozens of additional documentations of the knowledge, the preparations that were sabotaged, and the willful standing down, it should become transparent that this is not just an act of omission. This is a policy intended to expose the city to a catastrophe of this nature. And we have to examine exactly how they responded to the actual catastrophe in further amplifying the information that shows deliberation and design.
Ralph, the insurance estimates by Risk Management Solutions in Newark, California, show that the losses from Hurricane Katrina will be more than $100 billion, that most people did not have flood insurance, and flood insurance itself does not cover the uninsured losses from damage to roads, highways, utilities, and public buildings such as schools, nor the relief estimate. And in fact, 150,000 properties in New Orleans itself, at least 150,000, were inundated by water. But 6 out of 10 homeowners in New Orleans will not have flood insurance. There are more than 600,000 non-farm jobs in the New Orleans metropolitan area. And this is just New Orleans that we're talking about. Yet the federal government is only allocating $60 million, according to U.S. Labor Secretary Elaine Chao, in order to create some temporary work for people.
Well, the issue here is not merely the unfolding of the catastrophe, but what they did when it occurred. September 2nd, 2005, Chicago Tribune and the Tallahassee Democrat. The slow response bewilders former FEMA officials. Government disaster officials had an action plan if a major hurricane hit New Orleans. It was never executed. It was never put in place. 13 months before Katrina hit New Orleans, local, state, and federal officials had held a simulated hurricane drill. The regional director for the Federal Emergency Management Agency called it a very telling exercise. Over 1 million residents were evacuated. In the tabletop scenario, as 120-mile-an-hour winds and 20 inches of rain caused widespread flooding that trapped 100,000 people in the city. Why was it never implemented?
Ralph, yes, across the world, people were saying that disaster aid raises the race issue. Critics say poor blacks not considered in planning for emergencies and evacuations, as the San Francisco Chronicle noted on September 3rd. While 1 million people evacuated in their cars, 67.3%, almost 70% of Orleans Parish population is African American, and one-third of the population lives in poverty. And this was seen very clearly in terms of the evacuation efforts. People were unable to leave, and nothing was done to get them out. Yes.
They were people who were targeted for martial law. They are the people who are expected to create the conditions for uprising in the United States. They are the 1 million who live in poverty in the greater New Orleans area. They are the 70% of the population that is black and disadvantaged in New Orleans. They are the targets for which FEMA was originally established. When FEMA was originally established in 1983 and 1984 with Oliver North, it called for the incarceration of 14,000 American Negroes in Miami. Let's look at the context, brothers and sisters. Here is the report. The National Guard not allowing aid into the city. This is on September 2nd. The National Guard is preventing aid from entering New Orleans, is the story in the
Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.
The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette on September 2nd. Here is the report in the Los Angeles Times on September 4th. They have just left us here to die. An unknown number of people remain, sustained by National Guard troops, who do nothing. There are 70,000 ready-to-eat military meals, but they are not being distributed. The Los Angeles Times. Here's the report in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette by Ann Rogers. Homeland Security will not let Red Cross deliver food, is the headline. As the National Guard takes food to the New Orleans Convention Center, American Red Cross officials have stated that the federal emergency management authorities will not allow the Red Cross to do the same and is not distributing its food. The Homeland Security Department has requested and continues to request that the American Red Cross not come back into New Orleans, said Renita Hostler, spokesman for the Red Cross. Access is controlled by the National Guard, and they are preventing all aid agencies from operating. Louisiana official, feds have murdered the flood victims. Again, you began with Aaron Broussard. Here's what he states. We are engaged here in a process of murder. They are murdering the citizens of Jefferson Parish and of New Orleans. Why did it happen? Who needs to be fired? They need to be fired right away. We have to start at the top of this rotten totem pole and chainsaw it off, said Aaron Broussard.
Paul Krugman in the New York Times, September 5th. On the left side of the page, you had the column by Paul Krugman, Killed by Contempt. And then on the right side of the very same page, the opinion page, in a column by Bob Herbert, A Failure of Leadership, with the subheading, Bush to New Orleans, Drop Dead.
Mayor Ray Nagin, in a remarkable interview on August 31st. The White House is ignoring pleas to save New Orleans. The National Guard's Black Hawk helicopters are being diverted. He called upon the federal government to stop the sabotage of aid operations. And then he added this revealing statement on September 3rd. And here's the report. New Orleans mayor fears CIA will take him out. Last night, the mayor of New Orleans told a reporter for the Associated Press, "If the CIA slips me something next week and you don't see me, you'll know what happened." And he added to CNN on a live broadcast, "The CIA might take me out." That's an extraordinary thing. The mayor of New Orleans, who I have to state, was not exactly exemplary when the catastrophe hit, telling people to evacuate without providing buses, telling people to evacuate without providing the means. Nonetheless, when he grasped what the role of the federal government was and what the policy of the National Guard was, he began to call it by its name. And then he said he had indications and he had warnings that the CIA, quote, would take me out.
Ralph, the Times-Picayune, which published and then evacuated and then published on the Internet and then continued with its printing in its third print edition since the hurricane disaster struck, put an editorial, an angry letter, an open letter to President Bush on Sunday. And the text was, "We heard you loud and clear Friday when you visited our devastated city in the Gulf Coast and said, what is not working, we're going to make it right. Please forgive us if we wait to see proof of your promise before believing you, but we have good reason for skepticism."
And Maya, again, the reports in the Associated Press.
Ralph, let me just finish, because he said that the federal government did neither rescue the city stranded victims nor bring them food, water, and medical supplies. Meanwhile, there were journalists, including some who worked for the Times-Picayune, going in and out of the city, via the Crescent City connection. On Thursday morning, that crew saw a caravan of tractor trailers headed into the city to bring food, water, and supplies. And as we noted before, they were turned back by the National Guard. Television reporters were doing live reports, and yet the people, the federal government, did not come in to aid. And when the troops were deployed, he said they were singing a sad song of how the city was impossible to reach.
Katrina medical help held up by red tape, says Associated Press in Baton Rouge. Physicians are pouring in to care for the sick, but the federal authorities are keeping them from caring for Hurricane Katrina survivors where health problems rise. Doctors are being stymied from helping out. Hundreds of surgeons and paramedics in a state-of-the-art mobile hospital developed with millions of tax dollars for just such emergencies are marooned in rural Mississippi. The bell has rung. The emails have been sent off. We all got off our work and we deployed. And we have been stopped. We have tried so hard to do the right thing. It took us 30 hours to get here, and the government won't allow us to operate our skills.
We have several issues going on here, and one has to do with the evacuation, another has to do with aid coming in, and the third has to do with how you maintain security and hope for the people in their future. Fourth is what you do for their future. It's been noted by Marjorie Cohn in an article called The Two Americas that last September, a Category 5 hurricane battered the island of Cuba with 160-mile-per-hour winds. The Cuban government evacuated 1.5 million people to higher ground ahead of the storm. And although the hurricane destroyed 20,000 houses, no one died. No one died when the Category 5 hurricane hit the island of Cuba last year. Then in China this year, 3 days after Hurricane Katrina smashed into New Orleans, Typhoon Talim plowed into the coast of southern China with waves 30 feet high. Immediately, the Chinese authorities reacted and evacuated 600,000 people on one day's notice. Not a single life was lost. And here we have the mayor of New Orleans expecting thousands of people will be dead.
Tens of thousands. Here is, look at this. Sobbing Geraldo, let the people go. Rivera and Shep Smith make emotional pleas as the survivors are trapped at the convention center. This is on September 2nd. Emotions are running high in the aftermath of the catastrophic Hurricane Katrina, not only among the survivors, but among the media covering the New Orleans Convention Center. Fox News reporter Geraldo Rivera was overcome, tears in his eyes, his voice fluttering with sorrow. He made an on-air plea to the authorities to stop obstructing the rescue of those trapped, to allow the estimated 30,000 storm victims to be allowed to move to safer, clean areas. Let them walk out of here. Let them walk the hell out of here, Rivera sobbed. Walk to some other town. Walk someplace where we can get them help. These are people in the same clothes. Where do you think they go to the bathroom? They don't wash their hands. They don't wash their face, their babies. What the hell? Rivera made his intense plea on Fox's Hannity and Colbert's program, at one point holding a young child in his arms up to the camera. There are so many babies here. Take a look. I want everyone in the world to see what's going on. Look in the face of this baby. These people are suffering. You're not allowing them out. You're not helping them leave. Let them go. Let them walk the hell out of here on the damned interstate. Let them out of here.
What did happen when the federal government intervened with troops and the National Guard? The troops begin combat operations in New Orleans by Joseph R. Chenley in the Army Times. And he quoted Brigadier General Gary Jones, commander of Louisiana's National Guard's Joint Task Force. And he told the Army Times on Friday, as hundreds of armed troops under his charge prepared to launch a massive citywide security mission from a staging area outside the Superdome. This place is going to look like Little Somalia. This will be a combat operation. The Los Angeles Times on September 3rd had a remarkable article, Met by Despair, Not Violence.
And that article, Maya, as you say, is not only remarkable for demonstrating that there is no looting on any wide-scale basis, that the population is in total despair, that indeed this is a fabricated story designed to create a particular scenario for military intervention and martial law, because this is the Los Angeles Times specifically stating the following. We are seeing their mission very clearly. Quote, it is to turn New Orleans into a police state. This is the Los Angeles Times. Their mission simply is to turn New Orleans into a police state. Yes, we want to regain the city, said First Sergeant John Jewell. Turn it into a police state.
The troops are members of an elite special response team from the Louisiana Army National Guard. They were the first convoy out of what was the massive military staging ground. 16 in the clip, one guardsman shouted, a common refrain used to indicate that rifles are fully loaded. The Times writes, this is Scott Gould in the Los Angeles Times. But when they arrived, they did not find marauding mobs. They did not come under fire. They found people who had lost everything in the storm and since then their dignity. What they found were nurses, and they found people trying to direct them to young children with sickle cell anemia who were without their medication, with people who needed kidney dialysis, with sick kids, the nurse shouted. We have dehydrated kids. This is what they found, and this was shocking to the Los Angeles Times reporter who had accompanied the troops and who had expected mobs of people.
Well, what are we looking at here? No steps are taken to prevent the catastrophe. Everything is done to sabotage the institutions that have already been set up to accomplish it. Aid is preventing from reaching the population. no evacuation is permitted. And indeed, when private organizations are seeking to distribute aid or doctors apply their skills, they are prevented. Here is the Agence France-Presse of September 3rd. Guardsmen play cards amidst New Orleans chaos. A top New Orleans police official stated that the National Guard sit around and play cards while people are dying. New Orleans Deputy Police Commander W.S. Riley launched a bitter attack on federal authorities. He stated that the National Guard Commander Lieutenant General Blum is slow to move, and when they get there, they do nothing to help the population. Indeed, Riley said, for the first 3 days after Monday's storm, which killed several thousand, it was only police and fire departments and volunteers who were involved in rescuing people. For 72 hours, the police department and the fire department and a handful of citizens were alone. We had the people dying. The National Guard sat around and played cards. I understand why we are not winning any war in Iraq if this is what we have here in New Orleans, the deputy police chief. Troops begin combat operations in New York, reports the Los Angeles Times. Combat operations are underway to take the city back. As you say, Maya, the Brigadier General Gary Jones, commander, this place is going to look like Little Somalia. We are going to establish security throughout the city. We will capture large areas of the city with military trucks and armored Humvees and automatic weapons and special forces, Army, Air Force, Navy, Marine Corps, Coast Guard, and police. Helicopters have filled the city skies. Armed soldiers are manning the doors. Spokesman for the amphibious assault ship Bataan. The vessel kept its helicopters at sea. They are not rescuing people. They're setting up a police state, as the Los Angeles Times said, in New Orleans.
And, Ralph, this was noted in Australia in the Herald Sun of Sydney, Australia, on September 6th. 50,000 troops now in Katrina zone. And what they noted is that these ground troops and naval vessels, which are streaming into Louisiana and Mississippi, are doing so after the evacuation of the people. Admiral Keating said that there are now 13,000 active duty military personnel and 38,000 National Guard members in Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama, the three states hardest hit by Hurricane Katrina. Meanwhile, he said, the Army had more than 2,800 troops from Louisiana's National Guard, 256th Brigade Combat Team, who were returning from Iraq to Fort Polk, Louisiana, and they also will be included. The USS Harry Truman, an aircraft carrier that's been operating in the Gulf waters south of Mississippi, and the helicopter carrier USS Iwo Jima would be at Pierside in New Orleans. The USS Comfort, a hospital ship, was in Mayport, Florida, taking on additional medical supplies, and was expected in New Orleans this coming Thursday. This is after everyone is in Houston or San Antonio and Dallas throughout Texas. 250,000 people brought to Texas alone. The USS Bataan, an amphibious assault ship, was outside the Gulf right after the hurricane. It could have made 100,000 gallons of water a day, but didn't make an ounce of water. And it had hospital beds. It didn't provide a single hospital bed. It had helicopters that could have brought people out of the hospitals to the ship for medical care. Those are the people in Charity Hospital, where they were without water, without facilities, and where people were using their hands to keep ventilators going. This was intentional.
Maya, the Army Times. Here it is on September 4th. The Army Times. There is an insurgency in New Orleans. Referring to American citizens in New Orleans as the insurgents, the Army Times describes military operations, and this is what the Associated Press describes on September 4th. The military is frisking little children before rescuing them. Before a family is allowed inside, everybody is frisked, including little boys of 10 years. Everyone standing politely by, waiting to be rescued, is treated like a criminal and frisked, says ABC. No, is there anyone here who thinks a 10-year-old boy hungry and crying is a security risk? Who lifts these old people out of their wheelchairs so they can be frisked? Who frisks bodies on the sides of the road and floating in the water in case a bobby is booby-trapped? Who frisks babies hungry for milk that they might be swaddled in explosives the report on ABC. This is the final humiliation to these poor, abandoned people. Yes, this is the martial law state. This is exactly what the Washington Post described as we reported in our last program on the footprints of state terror in the London bombings and the plans for martial law. This is why they have sonic lasers being brought in throughout New Orleans by the army, sonic lasers that are to bombard people with sound and sonar beams. This is why the military technology is being deployed in Iraq while food and medicine is not. This is why there are shoot-to-kill orders that are being given to the military in New Orleans. This is why there are 50,000 troops now in the Katrina zone under the Northern Command's control, the looting lie being amplified. And this is why the Associated Press report that was published in The Australian on Sunday, that in fact the incident on the bridge in which five were shot dead, the first report of the Associated Press was that five people shot dead were in fact contractors for the Army Corps of Engineers. That story was killed within 9 minutes and called an error. Called an error, and it was said, no, the police didn't shoot the contractors, bandits did. Tell it to the Marines, brothers and sisters. This is the martial law state. This is the real face of capitalist rule. This is the catastrophe of New Orleans and the politics that underlie it.
The underlying politics of the Katrina catastrophe will be on our website, www.takingaim.info, and also on the WBAI archive, www.wbai.org. This has been Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. Possibly we will be preempted next week for the John Roberts Supreme Court hearings. If so, we will be with you the week after. And if not, we'll be with you next week.
Tatanta, chinaparo, tatanta, filo no.